about the great state of Maine, and the image of a big red lobster may pop into your head. But eating a lobster dinner is just one of the many ways you can experience the state that's nicknamed Vacation Land. I'm Beth Harpaz, travel editor for the Associated Press, and this is the AP Travel Podcast, Get Out of Here. We can be found on appodcasts.com or on the AP News mobile app. Today, we'll be talking with Patrick Whittle, who covers Maine for the Associated Press, about some of the wonderful things that you can do if you have a chance to get up to Maine this summer or even fall. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. So you and I have something in common, and that is that we are not natives to Maine, but we both grew up spending time in the summer there with our families, which, to Mainers, that's a real big difference. We're the people who are from away. My mom was from Maine, and when I was a child, we rented these little rustic cottages. In Maine, they call them camps on a lake, Lake Cobsaconte. And sometimes they didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse, and we had to walk to a pump to get our water, and sometimes we had a wood stove for cooking. But boy, it felt like paradise. We just swam in the lake, and we fished all day, and we listened to the loons calling at night. What was your typical vacation in Maine like as a kid? Where did you go?
What I did most often was I would come up to Ferry Beach State Park with my family in the summer, and we would find somewhere to camp in tents in the woods, do everything we can to, keep various critters out of our food, which we rarely succeeded at. And we would spend all day either at the beach, at Ferry Beach, which is a marvelous beach, or at various attractions around the southern Maine area, some of which are not there anymore, like the Maine Aquarium, rest in peace, and others of which will outlive anything this world can throw at it, such as Funtown Splashtown, which is an amusement park in southern Maine that has been there forever and will continue to be there forever.
And when did you make the move to Maine as an adult? Where do you live now?
I moved to Portland from New York in 2014 in what was a rare, incredibly smart move on my part.
Sounds like you like it.
Very much so. Portland is a wonderful city. I'll hold it up against the other Portland.
Exactly. All right. So you and I are going to talk about some of the great things that folks can do and see on a Maine vacation. Let's start with a place that's been in the news, Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument. Now, this is different from Mount Katahdin. That's the famous mountain that's the terminus of the Appalachian Trail. And you can see Mount Katahdin from Katahdin Woods and Waters. But Patrick, explain to us what is the Woods and Waters Monument and why has it been controversial? Why has it been in the news?
Katahdin Woods and Waters is a large piece of forested land that abuts Baxter State Park, as you say, and it is forested and mountainous and full of wildlife and birds and rivers and streams, and it was designated a little bit less than a year ago by then-President Barack Obama. And what is controversial about it is that its designation came following a long and kind of arduous public process about whether or not designating it as a national monument or a national park would be good for the surrounding communities, the small former mill towns and logging communities of northern Maine. And it has a number of opponents, a number of high-profile opponents, including Paula Page, the Republican governor of the state, who has described Katahdin Woods and Waters as, quote, a mosquito area, close quote. And in fact, President Donald Trump, in his review of national monuments around the country in an attempt to see if we should possibly shed some monuments, he has decided to look at whether or not we should hang on to Katahdin Woods and Waters. And so far, it seems like we probably will, because the Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, came up here to give a look around, and he was very positive about Katahdin and was on board, it sounded like, with keeping it the way it is. So that's where we stand at the moment.
Yeah, so for now, it is a publicly accessible park area. As you say, Woods and Water is what it is. I actually haven't been to the Katahdin Woods and Waters Park yet, but I am heading up to Maine this summer for my annual vacation. I own a little house on a little pond in the woods with my sister, but I love to go off on adventures while I'm there, so I am going to plan a trip up there. What do I need to know about visiting Katahdin Woods and Waters? I mean, this isn't like visiting Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon, right? I mean, there's no lodge there with air conditioning. There's no guided tour. Nice bathrooms and, you know, the park store and the park restaurant. So what should I expect? First of all, how the heck do I get there? And what's a good way to experience it? I mean,
yeah, there aren't just not nice bathrooms. There aren't bathrooms. Actually, that's not true. There are a couple, but they're very rustic. And the monument itself is very, very rustic. There are really... In terms of accommodations, there are a couple of sheds that if you get to them before anyone else, you can put your stuff under them and camp there. But it's very underdeveloped. The building of infrastructure is yet to come. There is a loop road that loops through the park area that you can drive on, and you can find trailheads and get really beautiful views of the branches of the Penobscot River and some of the wildlife and birds that are out there you'll occasionally be able to encounter on this loop road, which is one of the reasons it's a good idea to drive on it slowly.
Yeah, and so that sounds actually like kind of a way to at least start thinking about planning a trip, right? So plan to drive the loop road, maybe plan to take a hike on one of those trails as kind of an introduction to visiting the park. And I also wanted to say that, you know, people hear the phrase National Monument, and they might be thinking like something like Mount Rushmore, right? Or like the Jefferson Memorial, something like that. But that's just a term that the National Park Service uses to describe an area that's not a national park, which has a very specific meaning, but it is an area that is public and it's controlled by the federal government at this point.
Right. That is absolutely correct. There's most definitely not anything resembling a statue or a large thing to look at that you would think of when you think of a monument, like the Washington Monument. What there is there's a scenic overlook that you can easily reach from the Loop Road, where you can get a beautiful view of the full sweep of Mount Katahdin. And that is sort of, in terms of something to go and look at, that's probably it, because even though Katahdin is in the adjoining Baxter State Park, it's sort of best viewed in its grandness and its awesomeness from this scenic overlook that's within Katahdin Woods and Waters.
Let's talk for a minute about Mount Katahdin, since we're on the subject. I've hiked it twice, and just for those who might be thinking about it, just want to warn you that it is not a mountain for sissies. A couple summers ago, my husband and I went up, and it's a very steep, rocky trail. You're scrambling on all fours for most of the way up, and it's a long trail. It took us 11 or 12 hours to get up and down the mountain. We actually ran out of daylight on the way down and walked out of the woods in darkness. Fortunately, I still had some light from my phone to light the trail. But if you are thinking of hiking Katahdin, you know, do your research. You want to be prepared, wear good hiking boots, and have a headlamp so that you don't get stuck in the woods in the dark. But let me hand it off to you, Patrick, because there's another famous mountain in Maine, Cadillac Mountain, in Acadia National Park. And that one is I think, doable for the average person, right? Talk to me a little about Acadia. What are some of the highlights? What should folks know before they go?
Acadia is, I feel, justifiably regarded as national treasure, and Cadillac Mountain is one of its greatest features. Cadillac is a mountain, and in fact has the distinction of being the highest mountain that is on the eastern seaboard in terms of mountains that come right up against the ocean. Although, as mountains go, it's not particularly huge. It's about 1,500 feet up, and it can be summited by car.
For the lazy ones among us.
If you want to do it that way, you can definitely do it that way. And if you want to do it hiking it, most of the hiking trails are definitely very doable for novice and sort of moderate level hikers.
And for kids, right?
Yeah, for kids, absolutely. Would definitely be able to, most kids would definitely be able to handle this. When you do get to the top, though, if you're sort of looking to kind of commune with nature and find some quiet solitude, this is not the place to do it, because during the tourist season, everybody is always up there with their scopes and their bongos and their cameras and their everything else that you can think that anyone would possibly bring to the top of a mountain. And it's very much, the summit of Cadillac Mountain is very much a destination, especially early in the day, because it's one of the points where you can see the sunrise in the U.S. earlier than anyone else can. It's sometimes referred to as the nation's earliest sunrise, which sometimes it is, but other times that particular point is somewhere else in Maine. So let's not oversell it, but it is a beautiful sunrise.
All right. Well, that sounds amazing. I have to put that on my bucket list. What else is fun to do in Acadia? Give us a couple of other highlights.
One of Acadia's greatest assets is the ability to get really, really close to wildlife in its natural environment. It's a great place to go on whale watches, puffin watches, and seal watches, which are, I guess, are sort of the big three of Acadia National Park. And you can, by a very cheap and easy boat ride, you can get really out into the guts of the seal colonies, and you'll see them popping up sort of like whack-a-moles all around your craft, and they'll be very curious and cute and everything that you would hope a seal would be.
Oh, cute.
And somewhat farther ways away, you can go see puffins, which are Maine's beloved sort of clown-like birds with the multicolored beaks. And those are remarkable to see in the wild. They're also small, so you should bring binoculars because you'll probably need them, because otherwise they sort of look like a little black and white bird with a colorful beak off in the distance that you can't really get much of a look at. But seal and puffin trips are two of the things that I feel make Acadia really the special place that it is.
All right, well, we've got a lot more to tell you about visiting Maine, and we'll be back in a moment with more. I'm AP travel editor Beth Harpaz with the Get Outta Here podcast, and I'm talking to Patrick Whittle, who reports from Maine for the Associated Press, about some of the wonderful things to do in Maine on vacation. All right, let's talk about food. Everybody wants lobster or a lobster roll up
in
Maine.
Do.
Yeah, what are a couple of your favorite places to get a seafood dinner with some chowder and a boiled lobster dipped in butter? And make sure you drop all your ahs while you're saying that.
Man, there are many. where to begin?
You almost can't go wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are some. I feel like what you really want to do when you come here is go somewhere that the locals would go, and I think that if you're looking for, there are almost sort of three tiers of the lobster experience. There's the lobster shack experience, which is, you know, sort of a seaside literal shack that serves you lobsters and lobster rolls and fried clam rolls and all of those things.
And you're right on a pier, often you're right on a working pier, you know, and the boats are there and they're buying the seafood off the fishermen, you know, that morning and cooking it right up there for you. Typically you go to a counter, you get a number, you put in your order and you sit at a wooden picnic table. It's that is the real deal. Like you say, the lobster shack. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes, that is definitely a thing to do. And for that level of seafood, I would personally recommend a place called the Clam Shack in Kennebunk, which is right on the bridge that goes to Kennebunk Port. Clam Shack is about as authentic as you can get, and it's run by people who are passionate enough about lobsters that they will talk your ear off about the difference in flavor between a hard shell and a soft shell lobster, which are the same species of lobster, but they're just in different sort of levels of having shed their shells, and this impacts the sweetness of the meat contained therein. So if you're looking for someone who's that passionate about lobster meat...
If you're looking to go down the lobster rabbit hole, I believe...
Yes.
You found it.
Way down it. And then you have your sort of all-purpose lobster dinner type spots, which there are many on the Portland waterfront, such as Boone's Fish House is one, which is very popular and has everything that you can possibly imagine in terms of chowder and calamari and haddock and all things local and all the kind of seafood items that Maine is well known for. But if you really want to take it to the next level, then we have the top tier of seafood, which are places like Eventide and other like sort of places here in Portland that have been featured on the national news for the amount of food tourism that they bring to the state. And those places are in long supply in Portland now. The food scene here is booming, and Eventide is I feel probably the one that leads the way in terms of bringing the most people from out of state.
So for my money, I want to just put in a plug for my favorite spot, which is the Harrisiket Lunch and Lobster. I try to stop by every summer for my annual lobster roll and seafood chowder. And one of the things that's fun about Harrisiket Lunch and Lobster is it's located in South Freeport, Maine. It's just down the road from L.L. Bean, the famous retailer flagship in Freeport, Maine. And Freeport is actually a great shopping destination. Dozens of outlet stores there, brands that are famous in Maine, like Bass Shoes and L.L. Bean, but also everything else, Gap, J. Crew, North Face, Patagonia. So, you know, it's also like a great option for if your family has someone in it that doesn't want to sit by the lake and listen to the loons. Your family has someone that wants to go out with the credit card and buy clothes. You can always negotiate. Okay, yeah, we'll do a day in Freeport for you. It's also right on the coast. We're definitely going to talk about some of the other great coastal destinations in Maine. Now, right a few minutes from downtown Portland, we've got Old Orchard Beach. And at least in my family, there's this big pro and anti-Old Orchard contingent thing going on. Which side are you on, Patrick?
I am ardently pro-Old Orchard Beach.
Yay, me too.
I will definitely put up a significant argument against anyone who is anti-Old Orchard Beach, as I find it to be a wonderful and charming place.
Okay. And I am too. I'm a sucker for those old-fashioned beaches with the pier, yes, and the amusement park. And, you know, I also feel like the ocean in Maine is, it's pretty cold.
It is. It's freezing.
Yeah, it's freezing. Somehow, though, Old Orchard, I don't know if it's in a little bit of a cove or something, or if I'm just, like, so excited to be there that I can tolerate the water temperature. I also like beaches, again, you know, in southern Maine, Reed State Park and Popham Beach State Park are two of my family's favorites. We actually like to make a day of it because they're pretty close together. We'll go to Popham in the morning. I like to fly a kite there. And then we hop over to Reed in the afternoon. They've got these little tidal pools that the kids love to explore and find creatures in. And it's that classic Maine scenery, you know, the rocky outcropping, the crashing surf. And I just wondered, Patrick, if, you know, do you have other favorite destinations in southern Maine, you know, coastal towns or islands or?
Yes, absolutely. Those are the two that you mentioned are wonderful and would have been in my top five. But since you've already named them, I won't belabor that. But I do very much recommend that people who are looking to do the inland Maine thing maybe check out Sebago Lake, which is a terrific place to go kayaking or canoeing or hiking or do any of the other kind of inland Maine nature things that are so beloved by summer tourists. It's a great place to go if you want to try to find a giant snapping turtle, although I don't recommend that you try to pet it. I saw one there last year that I was either a snapping turtle or a dinosaur. I'm not sure. But either way, it was a wonderful thing to see in the wild.
I've seen turtles in lakes in Maine, too. They can be quite enormous. It's really kind of shocking. Like you say, you're like, what is this primeval creature?
So Sebago, I highly recommend. I also, for people looking to do a really quick and easy and really scenic hike, I find that Bradbury Mountain, which is in the sort of the Pownal area, not too far from Freeport, is a hike that's short and easy and for all skill levels and is a terrific way to get to sort of a summit in a hurry and be somewhere that's a little bit less trafficked than some of Maine's other well-known wilderness spots. And makes a really good short, maybe half day, third of a day hike with family.
Well, that sounds really good. I don't think I know that when you said Bradbury Mountain in the Pownal area, right?
Yes, that is correct.
I also want to give a shout out to the arts in Maine. Maine has been attracting writers and artists since the 19th century. Winslow Homer, the great landscape painter. If you go to the Portland Museum of Art, they run tours to Winslow Homer's studio on the water. And of course, Andrew Wyeth painted the famous painting called Christina's World, which shows a woman crawling across a lawn to an old farmhouse. That house is a real place. The woman was a real woman, and you can visit the house. It's called the Olson House, and learn the story behind the painting. It's quite fascinating. That's located in Cushing, Maine, and it's right near the Farnsworth Museum, which has a great collection of paintings by the Wyeth family. A lot of artists in that family, N.C. Wyeth, Andrew Wyeth, Jamie, a few others. And in terms of writers, well, I don't know, Patrick, are you a Stephen King fan?
I am, in fact, a Stephen King fan. My favorite work of his actually is his 1980 novella, The Mist, which is about being locked in a grocery store in Bridgeton, Maine, while all manner of frightening creatures descend on you.
Okay, I'm scared already. You can take a Stephen King tour of Bangor, Maine, and that is really a hoot. I highly recommend it. And then right in your adopted hometown, Portland, we've got the house that the famous poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow lived in. And even if you're not a great student of poetry, you may be familiar with some of Longfellow's poems. He wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Listen, my children, and you shall hear The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Oh, I don't know, Patrick. You're younger than I am. Do they still teach that one in school?
They had better, and I imagine here they definitely would, because there's a lot of Longfellow here in Portland, including the Longfellow Arboretum, and it would be very strange if they wrote his work out of the school curriculum.
Well, one if by land and two if by sea, I say. I've got one more thing that I wanted to mention, and that's whitewater rafting. For people who love, you know, kind of a hard adventure, I like to drive up to West Forks in northern Maine. There's a bunch of outfitters there. They offer trips on the Kennebec and some of the other rivers. I've been a half dozen times with Moxie Outdoor Adventures on an all-day paddling trip, and that's just tremendous. Class 4 rapids, you get a lunch in the middle of the day, they beach the rafts on an island, and they build a great big fire in the wilderness, and they cook chicken and steak and veggie burgers, and it's thrilling. And I just wondered, Patrick, you know, give me a couple more of your favorite best Maine, I don't know, adventures or destinations.
I find that you mentioned earlier flying a kite. Flying a kite is a wonderful thing to do in Maine, and I love flying kites on Eastern Promenade in Portland, which is a public park that sort of overlooks Casco Bay and is just like sort of a great public space where you can do things like fly kites. And I really, as kind of mundane as it might sound, that's like something I like to take everyone who comes to visit me to do, because the view that you have of Casco Bay and this really just like in this beautiful place where you have this wide open space in a very sort of urban kind of environment is really stunning. And also, something I feel I would remiss if I didn't point out is that Maine is an amazing state if you like lighthouses.
That's right.
There are such things in Maine as Open Lighthouse Day, which is exactly what it sounds like. And you don't need to come here on Open Lighthouse Day to appreciate the lighthouses, because a lot of them are accessible anyway. But on Open Lighthouse Day, which is every summer, you can learn about lighthouses, go in lighthouses, get up close and personal with the lenses, hopefully not while they're on, that would be dangerous. And it's really just a great way to experience something that's about as Maine as it gets, which is a lighthouse.
Maine is actually a big state, and some of these things are pretty far apart. I mean, my house is in what they call central Maine, and if I want to go to Mount Katahdin or if I want to go whitewater rafting, I got to get up literally 5 in the morning, I got to get in my car, and I got to drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours north to be in northern Maine. Can we talk a little bit about the distances? I mean, Portland is, what, like an hour and a half from Boston, right?
I would probably give it 2, but yeah, you can do that. You can do that drive in under 2.
Okay, so Portland is maybe 2 hours from Boston. And then some of these other places that we've talked about, especially on the coast, like how far is Acadia from Portland? It's not like it's a 5-minute drive, right? It's what?
Yeah, Acadia to Portland is a bit of a jog. It takes in the neighborhood of probably about three and a half hours to make that drive. Although I feel like it's worth pointing out that it's mostly a very pretty drive once you get off of the interstate. And even the interstate in Maine, which is, you know, flanked by gigantic trees and is a good place to see things like deer and maybe moose, is much more pleasant than driving on the interstate in a lot of places, at least I find.
Right, absolutely. But it's just to point out that, you know, if you are planning to do, you know, adventures in Maine or outings in Maine, you definitely want to consult a map or, you know, look at what the drive time is going to be. Sometimes even when you look at the map, give it, you know, just eyeball the map, it looks like something is very nearby. But Maine has a lot of peninsulas, these little fingers of land that go out into the ocean. So, you know, it might look like as a bird flies very close to go from one beach on the end of a peninsula to another, actually you have to drive all the way inland and then all the way out again. So if you're planning some of these trips, you definitely want to be thinking about drive time. Do you need to get up early in the morning to get there for the day, or do you want to stay overnight once you've gotten there? And in that case, you definitely want to be making your reservations, because sometimes in the summer, these places get crowded.
It's a very, very, very good idea, especially if you're coming in the high tourist season or even in fall, because there are some places like, for example, Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park are really, really popular in the early fall. And you might think that it's more of a summer destination, but things are definitely still hopping well into October.
Very good point. All right, well, this has been a super fun chat about all the wonderful things to do on vacation in Maine, something for everyone. I've been talking to AP reporter Patrick Whittle. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Our producer and editor is correspondent Warren Levinson, and I'm travel editor Beth Harpaz, signing off for Get Out of Here. To hear more podcasts, go to appodcasts.com or to the AP News mobile app.